kind of not been around for a while, then this is what we're doing at the moment is we've seen the picture already. Every year at this time, we ask God, what is the vision for the following year? Because without vision, the Bible says, the people perish. The word actually means in the Bible, they don't know, they get lost. So without vision, we get lost. We don't know where we're going. We all need vision in our lives. We all need to know where we're going in life. And next year, our vision, we believe, building on this, this year was join us in doing good, and lots of people have joined the church and done lots of good things have happened in our schools and unis and workplaces because simple acts of kindness, because we felt God was saying he wanted to release goodness. And that's happened. So this year, building on that, this is our vision. Join us in building community. Join us in building community. And so tonight, as with last week, we're going to ask God to illuminate when we open the Bible and look at what the Bible has to say to us. And we're looking, as we look at building community, last week, who was here last week? Put your hands up last week. Well done. Don't have to explain it too much. We were looking at part one of vision, which was life in Christ. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That was last week. Next week, Commitment Sunday, I think it'll move on. The third of these three talks from Romans chapter 12, we're looking at life on mission. So life in Christ, and then life on mission. Missio, to go, taking Christ into the world. We'll see how we're going to do that. But today, this morning, we had about 400-odd folks in this morning. It was great. Today, we're looking at this. Life as church, Romans 12, verses 3 to 13. What does it mean to be church today? Because if we can understand, a lot of people look at it this way. I'm a Christian, my mind's been shaped by Jesus, but I'm okay on my own. Or there's other people who say, I want to do all social good in the world. I'm a Christian-ish, and I want to do good for people. But actually, they don't work on their own. The thing that glues it together by God's Spirit is the church. The church is so important for the mission of God in this world. Now, I want you to, before we move on to the next slide, we're going to look at the Bible now. I want you to think of the best team or the best group you've ever been part of. Okay? Could be something in sport. Whatever it is, some kind of group you've been part of, and you thought, that's one of the best groups I've ever been part of. It's one of the best teams I've ever been part of. Share for 30, 40 seconds with the person next to you now, just off the top of your head. What is it for you? Turn to the person next to you. If there's nobody next to you, shuffle down a row and talk to somebody inside. Okay. Now, before we look at the Bible passage, this is really important. You see, the Bible gets a bad press because people look at the Bible and think it's just like churchy stuff. But it's not. The Bible is about life. And so the verses we're going to read in a few moments are the attributes and characteristics of the best team you could ever be part of, the best group you could ever be part of. Look into what the words are saying. They're speaking particularly about the church, but you can transpose this into any good group, any team that's a team of human beings who are trying to work together. Now, the church is different in that it's got God's Spirit working within it, but if you're a Christian, these are so important for us, taking this truth, we're going to read in a moment, and taking the life of the church into the world. So this is what we're going to do is three panels, there's three slides, and we're going to read them together, one slide at a time, okay? Starts off by Paul saying this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you." Now, when you read that, when you read in the Bible, in the letters of St. Paul, him saying that, basically that's Paul speak for this. This is really important. Listen. Every time you read that stuff, "For by the grace given to me, I'm going to say to every one of you." So he's sending this letter to this church in Rome, probably about five little house churches. That's all it was, the church in Rome, I said last week. Five clusters. And it's the letters passed round, and he's saying, okay, listen, put your coffee down and listen. This is really important. This is how you function as church. Let's read this together. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Keep going. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. You see, can you see these attributes, these characteristics? When I first became a Christian, I was working as an engineer. I was working in management for BT, the phone company. And I've said this before. When I started reading the Bible, I read Mark's Gospel because somebody told me to, so I did. I loved it, 16 chapters. And then I finished it. I didn't want to read next. So I asked somebody else, and they said, you need to start. This was a bad conversation. They said, start at the beginning and read Genesis. So I did. I got 6 chapters in and threw the Bible away because I had no idea what the thing was talking about at all, Adam and Eve and all that kind of. I had no idea what it was all about, apples and snakes and serpents. And so I thought, what shall I do now? I'll go and read Mark's Gospel again. It's a bit of a comfort blanket. So I read Mark's Gospel again. I finished it. And I asked somebody else and they said, oh, you need to read the letter to the Hebrews. I thought, that sounds like religious, Hebrews, all that kind of stuff. I just watched Ben-Hur, the film. I thought, that sounds about right. So I read the letter to the Hebrews. I got to chapter 4. And I had no idea what the guy was talking about. So I put it down. I thought, what shall I read now? I'll go back to Mark's Gospel. I've told this before. I read Mark's Gospel 6 times because I tried other bits and I didn't understand any of it. So if you're in the same boat as me and you think, I don't understand the Bible, I'm not going to admit it, read Mark. Just keep reading Mark's Gospel. God will do something in your life. Because it's my favorite gospel because I've read it so many times. And then somebody, a wise person, said, read Romans. I thought, Romans, that sounds kind of like gladiatorial. I'll read that. And I said, do I start at the beginning? He went, no. I'll give you 2 chapters. Read Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12. I said, what about chapter 1? He said, ignore chapter 1. You don't need to read. There's big words in it. You don't need chapter 1. You're a simple-looking chap. Read chapter 8, which is about the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, that sounds good. And then read chapter 12, which is really practical on how to live as a Christian. And I read chapter 12. And I remember, I didn't know much about Christianity. I remember reading this as if it was yesterday. If your gift, we all have different gifts. I thought, yeah, I understand that. If your gift is prophesying, I had no idea what prophecy was. I had no idea. I got a dictionary, looked it up. I had still no idea what it was, so I ignored it. If I didn't understand stuff, then I ignored it, moved on to something I could understand. If it's serving, serve. I understood that. I thought, I need to do a bit of that. And then I read these. If it's teaching or teach, I thought, well, I'm going to teach. I thought I was a teacher in a school. I thought, well, I'm not a teacher, I'm an engineer. So I don't teach anybody. I'll ignore that. Then he said, if it's encouraging, encourage. I thought, I can do that. I decided that day to encourage people. My team at work, and I decided to become an encourager. If it's giving, give generously. I thought, I can be generous. I'll be generous as best I can. If it's to lead, I was leading a team then. I was in management. I was leading a team. I thought, I can do that. The Bible's saying, if I'm going to lead someone, I've got to do it diligently. Got the dictionary out, looked up diligent. Got another dictionary out, and it said the same thing as the first one, so then I had to work that one out. I thought, I can do that. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I didn't understand what that meant, but I thought, I know what cheerful means. So I was going to be a cheerful leader who was generous and encouraged people. Bam, jobs are good, and closed the Bible, went back to Mark's Gospel next time. I had enough of this challenging stuff, I went back to Mark's Gospel. This is true. This is absolutely true. So I was taking what Paul was talking about for the church. I was in the church, I'd just become a Christian. And I thought, I can apply that to my life. I can apply it to my job. Transform my life. Paul goes on to say this. Let's read this together. Last slide. So, love must be sincere. Come on, church. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Brilliant. So that's what Paul is saying in these verses. And this is how we live as church. All that stuff up there. But right at the end, this is what I want to focus on tonight. There's so much in that. Focus on this verse tonight. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This church does share with the Lord's people in need. We give money away. We give generously to other churches and other ministries and work with all kinds of people. But more in-house as well. If you're part of this church, you will know that when you're in need, there's somebody there for you. But then Paul goes on to say this right at the end. To these five little house churches, practice hospitality. What does this actually mean? To practice, that's the phrase for tonight, to practice hospitality. The words here are quite important. The word practice means this was written in the Greek language. And so the Greek word for practice means pursue. And it means like a hunter after its prey, right? Ah, I see my prey. I'm off after it. Oh, there's some bushes in the way. Get out of the way. Get my machete out. Chop my way through. I'm after that prey that I can see going over that hill. You're off, down, up, through a stream, after your prey until you get it. Unlike we do practice, we go, ah, there's my prey. It's running rather fast. I'll not bother going and I'll starve to death. That's how we do it. I can't be bothered. Pursue, Paul says. Get after it. Hospitality. The word hospitality is an interesting word. It's only used twice, this phrase, in the whole New Testament. And it means this. It's two words, and the two words mean this. The first bit of the word means friend. Philos. And the second word means stranger. What? Friend, stranger. Pursue, friend, stranger. No, it means this. Pursue with everything, treating strangers as friends. It is the most wonderful, wonderful word in the Bible. Pursue. Really make it so important in your life that strangers, you treat them as friends. Now, it's difficult to do that, whatever age you are, because the way they did this in the New Testament, in this church they wrote to, was in people's homes. They didn't have big church buildings like this. And so people were invited into people's homes. Call them households. People would come in. Now, it's difficult in the West. You only invite normally into your place, your home, your house, your family or your friends. People like us. People we like. Well, you may not like your family, but you know what I mean. You know, you have to have them in sometimes, don't you? Christmas. It's just one of the things, isn't it, right? You know, I've got to invite the family around. Groan. Oh, yes, Aunt Hilda, it's lovely to see you. Oh, give me a hug. You still smell the same as last year. Oh, Uncle George. And so on. You have to have the family in when you have to. But actually, he's saying something different here. He's saying, the ones you don't know, invite them in and welcome them as friends. It's difficult in the West, particularly in England, because there's a phrase which says, an Englishman's home is his castle. Loved it, castle. This morning I did that and somebody went, castle. What's a castle? What is a castle? Is it some kind of vehicle? It's a castle. It's in the original Hebrew and the Greek. It's in the Bible. Castle. It's a castle. An Englishman's home is his castle. I spoke to the guy afterwards. He saw the funny side of it as he stood on my neck. And so it's difficult. One story. When I became a Christian, a quick story, when I became a Christian, Trisha became a Christian just before me, and we were in a small church out in the west of Sheffield. We came to church, came to faith in a large church in Sheffield, but went to this small church. And Trisha came home one day. I didn't go to, I was starting to go to the church. It was 6 months between Trisha becoming a Christian and me. It was a bad 6 months. She used to come home and say, oh, it's great in the church. And I'm going, I don't want to know. Be quiet. I was a very sensitive husband at that time. And she came home from this one day. She went, oh, by the way, Mick, we're having a Lent course at the church. And I went, what's Lent? I don't know what Lent is. What's Lent? She didn't fully know, but she had some kind of church thing that happens before Easter, because we're all new to this stuff. It's 6 weeks. It's a little course. And what happens is different churches in the area, Methodists, Baptists, Anglicans, Catholics, they all like, in the vicars interchange pulpits. And so we're going to get the Catholic priest. Wow. Amazing. That's changed my life. Like the Catholic priest is coming to our church. And everyone's going, oh, and I'm going, and? So what? And then Trisha said, and our vicar's going to go to the Methodist church. And I'm thinking, oh, well, what if he's going to stay there? If I pray hard, he might stay. And he was kind of, I was a bit edgy at the time. I wasn't into this. I was a bit kind of kicking against this Christianity stuff. Anyway, Trisha said, and I've offered our home for 6 weeks on a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock for a Lent course. To which I went, what? Wednesday night was football on the telly. I said, Trisha, we need to talk about this. We had not quite got our marriage interpersonal skills right. She didn't share anything with me. She just said, well, I've offered it now and that's it. Trisha, it's football. I've got football on TV. We've got these people. Who are these people? She said, I don't know. I mean, they're strangers. They're not even our friends coming around. I don't know them. And it's football on. There's going to be strange people in the house. What will they think when I turn the telly on? She went, there's no telly on. We're doing a Bible study. What? Those were the days when we had one telly. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, you people here? One TV in the house, in the whole house. It's like the middle flipping ages, wasn't it? Turn the telly on, boom. 5 minutes later, the picture came on. Not quite as bad as that. Anyway, Wednesday night came. I was so annoyed. I said, look, if they don't come by a certain time, well, you know, they may not come. I don't know. Nobody might come. I think, oh, great. I said, well, give it well 8:03, and then we'll lock the door. She went, no, we won't. So at 7:55, I'm looking out the window. I was so nervous looking out the window. Trish in the kitchen preparing the whatever it is we're having, some snacks. And I'm looking out the window, nobody there. 8:00, nobody there. 8:05, feeling good, nobody there. Yes, nobody's coming. I hadn't told Trish I'd unscrewed the door number and put it on next door. No, I hadn't. And I'm thinking, nobody's coming. Just before 8:10, nobody coming. I'm going, Trisha, nobody's coming. I'll miss the first 10 minutes. I'll put the ticket. So we'll wait another few minutes. And then, that moment, open the curtains. I saw somebody coming up the drive. It was a Methodist. I could tell he was a Methodist. Got a massive Bible like this walking up the drive. And he came to the front door. And I went, oh, no. And he came to the door and rang the bell. I went, Trisha, your people are here. And she's going, chop, 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 chop. Well, answer the door. Open the door. And I thought, oh, no, I've got to open the door. So I opened the door like this. And as I opened the door, this guy was there going, hello, is this the Lent course? And in that moment, I was about to go, no. But my life changed. God did something in me. I was about to shut the door in his face. You can't imagine looking at me now, I'm that kind of person. I've changed radically. I'm telling you, I was going to shut the door in his face quietly so my wife didn't hear me. But my arm wouldn't move, and I went, yes, come in. And as he came in, I thought, why did I invite him in? Others will come as well. 9 people came that night. I had no idea what this Lent course was. I had no idea what the Bible stuff was. But actually, 2 of those 9 were Sheffield United supporters. They were Blades. They were good folks. I got to know them well. But seriously, that was hospitality. Welcoming a stranger as if they were a friend. From that moment on, thousands of people have been in our homes, the homes we've lived in. And we've lived in a lot. We've traveled around, Trish and I. Thousands of people have come into our home, sat on our furniture, eaten our food, drunk my beer. Lots of people have been in. And often we think, how do we do it, Mick? Watch this video. This comes from Canada. And this video, Canada in January was 150 years old, the nation. And they wanted to find a way of bringing people together. And this is the video they showed. Watch this. Hashtag eat together. Don't you love that? Do you not really want to be in that corridor? I'd like you to turn to the person next to you now. 20 seconds. What struck you about that? What did anything inspire you about that? Maybe it was the food they were eating. What was it? 20 seconds while I just get this whiteboard. 5 more minutes and we're finished. Okay. Now, I'm just going to use this to bring it into land. Then we've got a final song. Then the cafe's open. Then we're done. I can tell you this, that went through Canada like wildfire. And they wanted people to know that if you came to Canada, it's a friendly place. And eating together, food, is one of the things they do really well. And it just went viral, the whole thing. And all kinds of things kicked off. People eating together in all kinds of crazy places. Homeless people brought in. There was a real social movement happened because the country decided, we're 150 years old, we want people to know, how can we be together? Let's eat together. Strangers becoming friends. It's amazing. I saw that in February time. I thought, I'm going to use that. Left it. I thought, shall I, Shauna? Tom Finnemore sent me something about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I said, have you seen this video? What are you writing? I thought, that's a sign. I'll show it. I think this is a way forward. Let me show you how, and I'll finish here. This is S10, right? S10. It's Crooks. Now, S10 gets a kind of press generally that we're a very rich area of Sheffield. We're not. Crooks is the poor end, really. We're not the Fulwood Ecclesall end. You're lovely people, but you're poor. Okay. And I'm joking. You're rich in spirit. So this is coming from town. This is around the grindstone, around there, off down the hid there. We've got, funny thing about Crooks is, school road going down there. Then we've got all these kind of roads going off like this. It's a kind of, it's a funny kind of place. Lots of small terrace houses. That goes down there. That one goes up there at an angle. And then off them are roads like this, these little Victorian houses. And it's a kind of, that's the arterial route through it. Crooks, the high street. So that's kind of where we live, S10. And here is this little teeny-weeny church. Little teeny-weeny Victorian box. Aesthetically, it's a box. We jazz it up a bit, but it's a box. And we stick a bit on the end 30 years ago, and it was a box with a bit stuck on the end and put a balcony in. And then 5 years ago, we opened a bit on that end, joining the sticky bit end to the old school building, and that was the link block. But basically, that's what we are. This is the church. However, we have these homes, these households. Who lives in a house in Crooks? Put your hand up. Lots of you. Okay. Who lives in a house not in Crooks? There you go. Who lives in a house anywhere? Houses are good things. Who lives in a room, but it's not in a house, but it's in a hall of residence? That's good. One day, you'll grow up and get a house. It's training. They trust you with a room. And then they inspect it and then going, okay, this one's passed. Give them a house. There we go. And then they say, all you need is 250,000. You can have a house. Anyway, so we've got all these houses here. All these houses. These are like people in the church. It's like the church in Rome. They had 5 little houses. Most scholars believe they were 5 houses. We've got a lot more than that. In this church, believe it or not, we have got 300 homes. We've done the maths. 300 homes or households. And if you look at one of these, let's... Dave and Kate, you live in a house, don't you? Terraced house. Yep. So this is their house. And their house shines. They shine for Jesus. That's their house. And their house is this house. Your house is a very, very, very fine house. There's a song coming somewhere, isn't there? So that's their house there. And what they do with their house is this. They say, welcome. Would you like coffee and cake? Dave and Kate do great coffee and cake. Even if they don't, they do now for the sake of this presentation. Would you like coffee and cake? But not only that, they say this. We've also got lots of friends. And actually, Dave and Kate have got lots of friends. So these are all their friends. Some are waving. And some of these people are followers of Jesus. Not all of them. Because they've got friends who are not Christians. So that's Dave and Kate. And these, what they say is, welcome, coffee and cake. Come and meet some friends here. And they say, why don't you come and meet some friends? And while you're doing that, you can meet God, because these are God people, meet Jesus, and you can learn to live life better. That's it. Now, if you take that, that's how it operates, and every one of these homes does that. It's inviting strangers in to be like friends. Now, if you multiply that out, and if we say that's the city of Sheffield there, and then here we've got S10, Crooks, that is how it works. Because basically this is that. Now, if we start multiplying this thing out, and we've got people who don't live in S10, we've got people all over the city. And if we start working with other churches and other people we know, we could see a revolution of hospitality. We could see a coffee and cake fest all over. Now, you may not live in a house. You may live in a hall of residence, which basically looks like a prison block. And that's, we've got a little bit of Jesus there, and a little bit there, and a little bit there, and a little bit there. And actually, there's somebody here going, here, over here, going, help, let me out. There we go. Help, I can't get out. There's some idiots in the corridor eating food. I mean, that may be you if you're a student. But just to finish, this is so important because this is where we're going next year. This is it. We love Sunday church and we do it really well. We love the worship and we love... But this is the way we... This time next year, we're going to have 400 homes for Jesus. 400 homes available. 400 rooms. If you've got a room in a house and the rest of your housemates are not Christians, just pray about it and then say, like Tricia did. Oh, by the way, I've got some people coming around. What? The footy's on. That's what Tricia did with me. And I went with it. Just say, any chance of people coming around? Got some folks from church coming around? Why don't you stay in? If we start to do this, we will start to see Jesus moving. This is the life of the church. The church is a body. It's organic. It happens in the everydayness of Monday to Saturday, not just on a Sunday. And the way we're going to practice hospitality is this, homes and hospitality. And that's STC in 2018. We're going to offer coffee, cake, and Christ. Coffee, cake, in that order, okay? I want to become a Christian. You've got to eat the cake first and drink the coffee. I don't like coffee. Drink the coffee. Coffee, brackets, tea. Who likes coffee? Hands down. Tea? Who doesn't like coffee or tea? You're out of this project completely. whatever kind of, do you see what I mean? Let's start to press out and do this. And I think we could see a revolution of hospitality where Jesus goes, come on in, I'm going to meet with you. There are so many lonely people out there, so many single mums, so many single dads, so many single parents, so many people who are desperate, so many students who are still lonely, even as we go towards Christmas at the end of the first term. So many people out there who are desperate, desperate for somebody to say, do you want to sit in this corridor and have some food? Do you want to come round and have a coffee? Do you want to come round and have a McVitie's biscuit with me? I think there's loads of people. All we've got to do is ask and let God do the rest.